Good morning, everyone, and welcome to 10 Minutes of Tehillim. We are continuing our discussion of Perek Yudches, Chapter 18. I believe we're correct this time. It's Part 5. And today we're going to discuss two different parts of this Perek. It's a very long Perek, the longest I think we've discussed thus far. And we'll discuss two thoughts maybe on the Perek and leave a very specific part. You'll see Amir Tashem next Tuesday while we're leaving this part out. We'll talk about it as it relates to Chanukah, Mir Hashem, next time. But let's begin skipping to Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22. Kishamarti Darchei Hashem. David HaMelech, after discussing more or less how Hashem reacts and rewards those who deserve reward, those who don't deserve reward, he praises or rewards those in accordance with how they act. He's very specific and very detail-oriented about that idea, David HaMelech. So he writes here, he says, Kishamarti Darchei Hashem, because I have kept the ways of God, Velo Rashati Melohai. And I haven't really left or become a Rasha, wicked, from Hashem. It's kind of strange. It's really redundant. It's two sides of the same coin. If I've kept all of Torah, if I've kept all of what God tells me to do, the Darchei Hashem, the path of God, then certainly, Lo Rashati Melohai. I haven't done anything wicked. To veer, to go astray from God. So what does he mean over here? So I've quoted often, one of my favorite sets of Svarim is a Sefer Svarim Kemotzi Shel Rav, they have it on Chumash, on Navi, on Haggadah, on other holidays. It's a beautiful set. Rabbi Rosenthal is the author. Here I want to point out, he quotes a beautiful thought from his father that he heard, and so could I mention here. He first quotes the Shulchan Kadosh. The Shulchan Kadosh comments that there's two reasons somebody could do something good. Aleph, because it's a nice thing to do. In other words, it's not nice to steal. It's not nice to be mean to somebody else. It's not nice to do so many things. It's not the right thing to do. It's built-in cognitive morality. It's a moral compass that we're all kind of born with, raised with. That's why we do something which is good or don't do something which is bad. And then there are things that kind of also have the aspect that God commanded us not to do them. So, for example, back to our first, the first example I cited, we could either not steal because it's not the right thing to do, it's not my property, it's wrong, it belongs to somebody else, or we could say, lo sigzol, the Torah commanded us, and God commanded us not to steal, and that's why I don't steal. Now, is there really a difference? You're not doing the action no matter what. Nevertheless, in the mindset of a person, the mindset of a Jew, specifically, there is actually a difference. When you do something because it's not the right thing to do, there could be exceptions, there could be cases where maybe you may apply your own logic, but when we act, or in this case, do not act, because God told us not to, it's a command from a higher source, that's very instructive and very much more, I would say, uplifting and much more moving and much more concrete than if we just judge that it's not the right thing to do based on our own moral upbringing, our own moral compass. But the proof that he quotes is actually beautiful. He cites a proof, by Rosendahl, from the Malbim in Bereshit Perechat Beis. Now, Bereshit Perechat Beis, those who are Balei Kriya will remember, will know, that it's the Akedah. It's a well-known chapter, well-known Perek in Bereshit 22 is the Akedah. It's the episode where Avram almost shechts his son Yitzchak. And at the end of the Akedah, Avram is called to, he hears the voice that tells him, stop, don't do the Akedah, and Hashem relays through this angel, he says to him, you know, v'lo chasachta es bincha es yechidecha mimeni. You didn't withhold your only son from me. What does that mean? Now, it makes sense. Hashem says, I'll reward you because you didn't withhold your son. I told you to kill him, and you were going to do it, and I told you not to, and now you stopped. Oh. So the Malbim there beautifully writes, always focused on grammar, on words, the Malbim beautifully writes the following. He says that, you know, naturally as a father, anybody who says, stop killing your son, you're going to stop, because you really don't want to do this. You did it because God told you to do it. And so Avram could have naturally, when he heard, stop, don't do it, oh, thank God, I'm a father, I don't want to hurt my son, I'm going to stop. Nevertheless, Avram was told not just to stop because you're a father, not wanting to harm your son, but stop because God commanded you. And that's in fact what he did. Avram stopped, of course, naturally he's a father, but he stopped because he was willing to act, but also to not act because of the request and command of God. And that's a very important nuance in how we behave in terms of our moral compass. Do we do things that are rational or not do things that are irrational because they don't seem rational or irrational to us? Or do we believe that doing them with a higher command, because God says not to murder, not to steal, not to harm somebody, to be mean to somebody who's an almana, an orphan, whatever it is, we always have to realize there's a higher calling to act, not because we think it's wrong. Of course, that's true, but also because God told us to. That's the example from this pasuk, why it's kind of reflective in terms of positive and negative. David HaMelech writes, coming back now full circle, Ki shamarti darchi Hashem, I kept God's law, lo rashati melohai, and I didn't go astray from God, as if to say, I kept it because I did it because God told me to. Not because lo rashati, I thought it was the wrong thing to do, it was immoral, it was wicked. I did it because shamarti darchi Hashem. I know it's the right thing to do to keep God's derech, to keep God's mitzvot, to keep the Torah. Okay, moving on to our second part today for Perek Yud Ches, Pasukim Chaf Vav through Chaf Zayin. It's fascinating. David HaMelech continues to describe a second time the idea that Hashem rewards and punishes according to somebody's actions. And he writes, in Chassid Tis Chassad, if a person acts as a pious individual who's they're devout, then Hashem will act in kind with them. In Gevar Tamim Titamam, if we act wholeheartedly, so will he with us. In Navar Tis Barar, if a person acts with purity, then Hashem will act kind with us. Me'ikesh tisfal tau, and if we act crooked with him, he'll act crooked with us. Now, there's three terms here in the positive. There's chassid, tamim, and avar. There's the pious one, there's the wholehearted one, and the pure one. So what is that in any order? Why these three very similar words? So Rashi takes an interesting approach, and this requires a lot more time than we have in this small 10-minute segment, but Rashi writes that Chassid, Tamim, and Navar refer to each one of the Avos, the Shloshes Avos, the three patriarchs, and it probably would be good if somebody has the time right now to build on that Rashi and discuss which one of the Avos corresponds to which one of these words, which one is pious, which one is wholehearted, and which one is pure, but not for right now. That's what Rashi claims these are referring to. Rav Hirsch, however, writes that these are in order of perfection from highest to lowest, a chassid being the highest, a tamim being the middle, and a navar being the lowest. And Hashem reveals himself to each in association with the character of each one. Now, what makes the chassid the highest? Now, whenever you think of somebody who is a devout Jew, you think of a chassid. It's actually interesting. Somebody just told me, I think Rabbi David Bashevkin, we had for Shabbos, fantastic scholar residence for Shabbos, really beautiful Divrei Torah, very inspiring, very applicable, and very relevant. He spoke about the Chassidus. He told a fascinating story. He was running a program for MCSY, and I believe he said that when he asked some of the young, unaffiliated young men and women to draw what they saw as the quintessential, highest form of Jew, what do they look like? Draw a picture. 90% drew a Hasidic person. That's a pious person. So it's interesting. Now, Rav Hirsch writes, that's the highest, right? So that's the highest level of observant. Obviously, one could be pious. They could be Hasidish, Litvish. They could be all stripes and colors. But the point is that they're just fascinating that somehow Chassid here, Rav Hirsch says, is the highest. That story really resonated with me. Very interesting how people think, what they think of when they think of a pious Jew. Chassid, Tamim, Navar. So first writes that the Chassid being the highest, Tamim being the middle, and Navar being the lowest. That's what Rav Hirsch writes on these three characteristics. Next time we'll see Amir Sanshem, how David HaMelech continues to describe how Hashem rewards those who deserve and punishes those who do not, and the connection to give some food for thought for next time, the specific connection to the next set of Sukkim with Hanukkah, the idea of a ner, what a ner means in terms of a person, how you describe a person as a ner, as a candle, a receptacle for light, That we'll discuss Mirta Hashem next time when we have a Tehillim Shir on Hanukkah. Wishing you all a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend, and most importantly, a freilich and uplifting meaningful Hanukkah. Mirta Hashem, we will meet virtually next Tuesday and speak about Tehillim in terms of Hanukkah. Be well, have a wonderful and meaningful day.